Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The 446th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com/SGPN and use code SGPN for your first deposit match of up to $100. We're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or go to hofbets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today. And finally, we're also brought to you by Game Time. Game Time has last-minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Use promo code CFBX for $20 off your first purchase.
Heidi, 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 ho, DeGenerinos. I'm stretching out the Heidi's because the music was still going. Welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Episode 446 goes out to Searching for Profit, one of our friends in the Discord who somehow knew Nicholas Dalby was going to win or knock out. Which one was it,
hey,
co-host?
K.O.
Hey, prop. For this goes out. Yeah, you were searching for profit and you searched in the correct spot, apparently, in the co-main event of last night's UFC Sao Paulo. I'm one of your hosts, Jeff Chalks Fox, and it's a dark day in the podcast. This is a day that I didn't think ever would come, and I don't think it has come before in the history of the show, 3 years or whatever we've been doing it, at least not this late in this season, so to speak, in the year. Someone has finally pulled ahead of me in the overall profits on the year and picks on the not overall successful hit rate, but Searching for Profits, my co-host has been searching for profits and he is ahead of me. So yeah, it was a hard show to show up for and do. It was a hard show to watch last night, to tell you the truth. So we're going to make it a fun episode because we're fun guys, but yeah, a rough event. This was like old school UFC where a bunch of fights fell off after weigh-ins and then a fight fell off the day of, and then we had some crappy fights happen actually when the event happened. Let's bring in my co-host to talk about Daniel Gumby-Vreeland. Does this not remind you of the olden days, a few years back, when everything used to go to crap for the UFC?
It felt like a pandemic card, for sure. And I don't know if you remember, like a few weeks ago, when we started to talk about cards in the future, you were saying, we got a week off, and this one's a dud, and this one, that. I said, I love the Brazilian card. The Brazilian card's sick. And like, I was like, because I love Gabriel Bonfim, or, I love this person or I love this person, or I'm excited to see Daniel Marcos fight again. And like, then like so many of those fights fell off, you had the Renat Fakhretdinov draw, which was really, I think a terrible judges score. The more and more I think about it, the worse and worse I feel about it. I think it's like a truly bad scorecard because like,
we will get to that.
Yeah. We'll get to it. I don't have to jump on it, but, yeah, like weird. We didn't see fighters fight the way they ought to fight. Like had some of the shine taken off of our prospects. But I did go 7-2, which is really important.
Yeah. People, I know people come here for the Renat Fakhretdinov takes. So we're going to make them wait for that. So they don't just click off after the first 5 minutes. Like, what do those guys think of Renat Fakhretdinov? Yeah, it was, it wasn't a good, well, I'm feeling like it wasn't a good event because I only went 5-4. My co-host went 7-2, so it probably was a good event for Gumby. Wasn't fun. Was it fun for you to watch, even though you were hitting all your picks?
No, that, I mean, like, let's be honest. That's probably the least fun Jailton Almeida fight that's ever existed. And we'll get into, I mean, we could start right there if you want. Like, we can get into my hot takes on how it's not that bad of a performance. It was boring as shit, but, like, not a bad performance. Yeah. Because deep down, like, I think, look, if we had a prospect that we were crazy hyped on, who is a phenomenal wrestler and maybe one of the best jiu-jitsu specialists the heavyweight division has ever seen, and he went in there and tried to box Derek Lewis and got knocked out, how would we be talking about him today?
Yeah, that's not what I was yelling about in the Discord, though, what most people are yelling about. We don't want him to box.
We want to, I get the extra ground and pound, but with that being said, and again, maybe I'm being a Jailton apologist here, but like he was tired, right? Like this was the most tired we've ever seen him. And sure, could he have gotten him out of there in the first round? If he just let go, could he have gotten him out of there in the second round? If he just let go, 100%. I think he could have, I would have rather he done that. But at the end of the day, we had just seen a hot undefeated Brazilian prospect tire his ass out doing the same exact thing and lose to a dude who he should have never lost to. A wily veteran with durability he should have never lost to, which is exactly what could have happened to Jailton there.
I don't want to use all my jokes I used in the Discord, but it's like Jailton was looking thinking, what's a position better than mount? Like he would get mount immediately and then, okay, what else can I do? No, you just start laying into Derek Lewis. Derek Lewis is tired. He sounds like he didn't want to even take this fight, or he got tricked into what he claimed. He says a lot of things. He says a lot of things. So who knows? He has fun with the media. Just open up on him, and he's gonna turtle up, and you're either gonna get you're gonna be able to choke him, or the ref's gonna step in. That's all I'm asking for.
Well, he seems to
maneuver for something better than what he has.
He did hit him with one really good hammer fist, right? Like he hit
keep
him.
Keep going.
And he turtled on up and went belly down, and there was just not enough time to finish it in that one time. But like to your point, if he had just gone for that earlier, if he had just thrown, instead of just like grabbing each other's hands when you're in mount and then doing this weird thing where you stood up in mount.
Yeah, what was with that? He kept standing up.
It was like
Derek Lewis is supposed to do. Derek Lewis stands up, not you.
Well, and then the weird thing was Derek Lewis didn't even stand up then. Like he like got off of him, and Lewis was like, "Nah, I'm chilling here, man. Like this is where I am today."
Derek Lewis got Derek Lewis, and he didn't know what to do with it. He's like, "What?" Yeah. He just stands up. That's my thing, man. That and driving fast. I'm sure a super fan will remember. I think I've talked about this before with Jailton, how I want him to try to finish fights, not just make it a jiu-jitsu fight. Like, you're not Demian Maia. Like, hit people. It's good you don't get hit, but hit people. You're in a position to hit them, hit them. He seems like hesitant for some reason.
Can I share my other big pet peeve about people's commentary on this fight? Because first of all, the hype is going to go away on Jailton a little bit because of this fight, right? Like, people are going to
be good for us.
Yeah, it was going to be less hyped on him. I'm fine with it because I don't think anything less of him as a fighter right now. Like I still think he's really good. And I think he's still a really great wrestler. I think he's still a huge problem for tons of people in this division, particularly Surreal Gain, who he called out. Like, good call out, bro. Nailed it. That's the guy you want. But with that being said, my other big pet peeve about like the narrative that people were trying to say is, did you see the amount of people on Twitter posting that he was a one trick pony?
I did see that. I was going to say, I don't check Twitter, which is true, but that did come across my timeline when I was on there posting stuff or something. Yeah.
And like the bizarre thing about that to me is, first of all, you didn't even see him box. Like, and he can box. We've seen it before. He's a pretty good boxer. And he just chose not to in this fight. That doesn't make him a one trick pony. That means he went to the place where he had the biggest advantage. It's some of the dumbest analysis I've ever seen to call him a one trick pony in a fight where he only tried to use one trick. Like, that was his trick for this fight.
Yeah. I think we just can't be satisfied, Dan. We're mad at people for low fight IQ. We're mad at people for high fight IQ. I guess we want Goldilocks, right? Right in the middle. We want our fight IQ porridge to be just right.
Yeah, I mean, and if he, and to your point, right, like unloaded on a little bit more ground and pound, he probably wouldn't have been much more tired than he was, as long as it was like well-placed and he wasn't going berserk and he wasn't, you know, he's keeping his weight down and not elevating. Like, I think there was probably room for him in there to finish that fight. But I also think him tiring out and losing that fight is 80 times worse. And I think the choice he made was smart.
Yep. It's true. It's true. But I'm just saying, who's going to get tired out first? Derek Lewis or Joe? I guess Derek Lewis actually has good cardio, surprisingly.
Yeah, I was going to say. He knocks people out late. That's like his
exactly. thing. Exactly. Yeah, it's true. It's true. All right. Dan's defense rests. He has very good points. But yeah, it's just every, the first, like, what, 15 seconds of every round, I'm like, oh man. Because Lewis is swinging those uppercuts. The most dangerous, the scariest thing.
Especially when you shoot a takedown.
It's Derek, yeah. Yeah. It's Derek Lewis. Yeah. Because he did it to Curtis Blades and folded him in half with one. So. Anyhow, Jelton won. We're just harsh on our boy because we expect a lot from our boy. We had him at minus 500. We won a big $20 on that, Gumby. Good for us, right?
Works for me.
Better than losing $20. All right, now I'm going to transition to an ad. You ready for with the graphic for prize? Oh, there it is. Look at that. People, if you don't know, we do have YouTube. We're not just having fun talking about graphics behind the scenes. We have YouTube now. So get in there and check out which one of us has an ugly mug and which one of us has dreamy eyes. And if you're on YouTube right now, you will see our prize picks graphic telling you about our awesome promo code SGPN and all the discounts you get. Prize picks. If you don't know about them, let me tell you a little bit. The basketball season is here. My Phoenix Suns are playing like crap. So I switched my hat out today. Notice no Phoenix Suns hat today. It's the SGP hat. SGP never loses. They don't let me down like the Suns do. But anyhow, basketball season's here. You can now pick combo projections across football and basketball from the Specials League, a league created specifically for combo projections that include two or more players from different sports or leagues. For example, LeBron James, basketball player, plus Travis Kelce. He is like a famous person, right? That's his famous boyfriend. That's what he does, right?
Yeah.
I don't think he does anything else. But so if you combine those two for 10.5 combo of three-pointers made and receptions, then and they go over or higher, excuse me, then you win. So LeBron's playing football now too, because Kelsey's not getting receptions. He's just there to be arm candy. But anyhow, it's a joke, everybody. LeBron and Kelsey, you can bet them as a combo for three-pointers and receptions. 10.5. Would you take that higher or lower, Dan?
With the way that, and I don't remember the exact stat on the, because they played in Germany this morning, Kelsey did. The way that Mahomes is throwing right now, I don't think I'd take anybody catching lots of passes for him. So
and LeBron is not hitting threes either. So yes, yeah, I would take. We would take lower.
Yeah, lower than on that one. Yeah.
And if that's not good enough, you can play alongside some of Price Pick's favorite players, like rapper Meek Mill. Are you a big Meek Mill guy, Dan?
I am not.
You've heard of Meek Mill, right?
I do know who he is. Yes, I'm familiar.
Yes, you're the young half of our podcast. So you better have known about him. How about comedian Andrew Schultz? I don't know him.
I know who Andrew Schultz is.
Oh, wow. See, Dan is the hip one.
I'm hip.
Anyhow, those guys, you can find them on the community plays under the promos tab of the app to view entries from some of the biggest names in the Prize Picks community each week, such as those names I just told you. If all that sounds good, here's what you got to do. Actually, Gumby, before I tell you what to do, Gumby's going to give you a higher lore other than the pretend LeBron and Kelsey. Give us a higher lore you like.
I'll say on Monday, because this is coming out Sunday, and I don't know if things will still be going on, but on Monday, I'll take, let's see, who do I like on the Spurs? Because the Pacers are giving up tons of points, and Wemby is just too chalky of a play. I'll say Devin Vessel. I'll take the higher than on his points.
The Spurs just beat my Suns back-to-back. Wembanyama, holy moly. He just destroyed everyone, even Kevin Durant. He just made him look like a child out there. But all right, there you go. He's picking a Spur higher, Devin Vessel. That sounds good. Or if you think you're smarter than Gumby and you have your own place, go to PriceSGPN, and use code SGPN for our first deposit match up to 100 bones. That would be dollars. That's PriceSGPN. And then the code SGPN, PricePicks Daily Fantasy Sports made easy. And like we said, SGPN, like we said in the past, just enter that code anywhere you go online, and more than likely you're going to get a discount somewhere. Maybe even over at DraftKings. Mark your calendars, because November 11th is going to be huge. It's November. It's Remembrance Day up here, and the day after my son's birthday. That's why it's going to be huge, I guess. But also, Yuri Berhashka versus Alex Pereira will face off during UFC 295, but only one fighter will leave with the belt. We hope. this is light heavyweight, Dan. Neither guy can leave with a belt, right?
That's before. Very, very true.
It's happened before. Secure your victory with unbeatable offers on DraftKings Sportsbook. New customers, strike now to get $200 instantly in bonus bets when you bet $5. Do you have anything on DraftKings? I'm going to tell you, I'm using a sportsbook right now. I am doing an article on 2024 MLB futures. No, it's not too early. Pitchers and catchers, only 3 months away, Dan. Not too early.
I love it.
And I'm taking all my odds off of the DraftKings sportsbook. And guess who's favored to win the World Series next year at DraftKings, Dan?
My Atlanta Braves.
Your Atlanta Braves. So I was going to pick your brain a bit about that. So I think they're actually, they're at like plus 700. I think that's actually pretty good. They did not have that. They did fantastic this year, obviously, but they were snake bit, as you know. Their pitching staff was just ravaged this year.
Yeah, I think they're going to go get some arms. So, you know, plus 700 before you see what those arms look like could be interesting.
Just even if they get some, Soroka's supposed to be back next year, right?
Remember yeah, when he was maybe. They got some young guns, too, that you should keep an eye out for. So
there you go. So anyhow, wait for that article. I will have DraftKings Sportsbook odds on there. But back to the UFC. You can get in on the UFC 295 action with DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of UFC. Download the app now. Use code SGP. There you go. A different code. The other one's SGP and this one's SGP. Either or. Use either or no matter where you are online. New customers get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Wow. When you bet $5. That's code SGP only on DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling, 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resorts in Kansas. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Boo. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See sportsbook.draftkings.com/MMA. Terms for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms and responsible gaming resources. Apparently, my name is Void. I am in Ontario. My name is Void. All right. Should we break down this fight? I guess we just broke down the main event. Justin Almeida Jr. Mahadinho beat Derek Lewis. Unanimous decision. 50-44, 54-4, 50-45. Derek Lewis's balls must have been so hot being pinned down for 25 minutes, Dan. That must have drove him nuts.
Yeah, I don't think we have anything more to say about this. I think we did all the big points. Yeah.
We did. Gelatin said he wanted to give the crowd a performance or something, he said. And it was like, aren't you entertained type of thing? Like, yeah, you're not reading the room properly, dude.
If you really love chain wrestling and hometown fighting, it was pretty awesome, man.
It was. Anyhow, I was going to ask you what's next for him. He called out Ciryl Gane. We're both, I think, game for that one, right?
I like that one. I also think they should run back him and Blades. If Blades is good to go again sometime soon, like I think that's a much better matchup to prove that he's not the one trick pony people are claiming he is. Because he would probably box Blades up. And also you might find out just how good his wrestling is if he's out there out wrestling, you know, Curtis Blades.
Yeah, so it was a disappointing main event, but we did hit the pick and our guy won. So co-main event, no, not so good. Welterweights, Nicholas Dalby defeated Gabriel Bonfim. Yes, I said that. You heard me correctly. TKO, knees and punches, 4:33 into the second round. Bonfim looked so good until he did not look so good. And then he was getting, not enjoying the elbows he was getting from Dalby. And then he got himself a little pooped out. The young guy got tired and then Dalby just laid it on him. What was Dalby at? He was at plus huge. He was one of the biggest ones this year. Plus 450 he was when we when we went to your ears and your eye holes on our preview. He's now won four straight fights, Mr. Dalby. Bonfim prospect loss, or is there something more serious going on here?
Prospect loss. Like, needs to know that now that he's fighting people who can take a punch, he can't just like blow his load in the first 15 seconds of a fight. He like needs to pace himself and do the right thing and work his way to a victory. So yeah, I think he's going to learn from this one and be better because of it.
He did look really good before that though. Like he's still fast for a welterweight.
Yeah. He's fast. He's got good submission skills. He's, you know, like everything's there. And I don't even think that his cardio is bad if he just uses it the right way. You know, like I think that that's fine.
And it wasn't, it's not like he got brutally knocked out. That's, excuse me, that's something I was concerned about, if he was going to get beat, if he got knocked up. Because someone spoiled me. I saw a picture of Dalby with his hands up. I'm like, what? So I was worried that Bonfim got like knocked out bad, which he did not. So hopefully just a little blip on the radar here for him, right?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. As for Dalby, just another a fun action fighter, or is there something more going on with him?
Yeah, I don't know how many of the guys in the top 15 he's going to beat, right? And I feel like I say this about welterweights way too often, but he does feel like kind of like one of those, maybe a little bit better, but he feels like one of those like Max Griffin, Nico Price types. We're going to chill in the top 15 to 25. We're going to threaten everybody who's not in the top 15. And I just don't know that there's a run in them, especially as pretty much all of them get older, you know?
Yeah. I think I would put him ahead of those guys you mentioned. I think you may as well, with four straight wins and stuff. I think he's proven he's probably a step ahead of those guys, but yeah, he's going to be 39 in 11 days. So yeah, don't think he's making a title run anytime soon, but the UFC may want to think twice before feeding another hot prospect to him, because he may hit the brakes on that pretty quick for you. So we did not hit that one, surprisingly. Dalby, but Searching for Profit did hit him. Dalby was, it looks like I scanned the odds that I had tracked this year. It looks like he was the fourth biggest underdog to come through this year. So very close to the biggest underdog. All the odds are right in the, like, 400 to 500 plus 500 odds there that hit. All right, heavyweights. Rodrigo Nasa, it was the rematch we didn't know we wanted. It was a rematch I didn't even know existed the first time. I forgot about it, but Sugambi had to make sure he put a clip out of me not knowing that this fight happened before. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Got a lot
of it. Rodrigo Nascimento took care of Dontel Mays. 30-27, 29-28, 29-28. I did not submit him like we were hoping, and like I was hoping would happen with the with prop bets here. But Nascimento looked good on the feet. Mays, I don't know. He could take a punch, I guess, but yeah.
Did a good job stuffing takedowns comparatively.
That's true.
It seems like he's getting better at that, but also, like, I don't know, like, shouldn't he have figured out more than that by now? Like, because he is,
yes,
he is, does seem to be like freaky athletic, right? And supposedly he trains with John Jones, right? He was the guy training with John Jones when John Jones got hurt. So, like, he's a guy with high level training partners. Well, we used to think he was a good coach, right? Who does he train with now? Who does John Jones trade with now?
Who knows?
Yeah.
I don't know, actually.
But they were originally Jackson Wink guys. And so, like, he originally had a coach we kind of thought was good. And he was athletic and youngish for heavyweight and had good training partners. And, like, still, this is where we are at this point with Dontel Mays. And I'm not particularly impressed.
And he's not a lord anymore either. So that was part of the
freaking regular Kong.
Yep, he is just regular Kong, just one of the peons here. How about the other side of this fight? Nascimento looked pretty good in there. I want these guys to actually get in shape and get serious about things. Body issues aside, he looked pretty good in there. Boxing looked good. We know he's good on the mat. Lower top 15 guy, probably. That's probably his peak, right?
I put him in my rankings. I put him at 15.
Yeah. Or higher top 15. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I put him at 15. And just because I like, when you look at the list of 15 heavyweights, it's like hard to leave out a guy who's winning like he is. And, you know, to your point, maybe he's not flashy or explosive or exciting, but, like, I mean, he's effective. He's fast. He's got decent cardio. His wrestling ain't bad. He does a good job slowing the fight down when he needs to. Like, he's probably one of the more underrated heavyweights, to be completely honest with you.
Yep. Yeah, it's true. It's true. So we shall see where things will go with him. Before we go any farther, I'm going to tell you about Game Time. We'll tell you how to win money. Now we're going to tell you where you can spend your money. It would be Game Time. Game Time is the place to go for last minute tickets. Not even the hype up the last minute part, but you can get tickets there anytime. You don't have to wait till the last minute. You can prepare if you like in advance. Check out their app. They got MMA. They got basically everything underneath the sun. for you to go, because Game Time is the place for last minute ticket deals. Forget planning months in advance. I'm saying you should plan, but hey, you can also forget it. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the day of the event. Get exclusive flash deals on tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, and more, aka MMA. Game Time, I bet they have USC 295 tickets there. Gumby, you should go to New York City.
They're even with the $20 off that you can get using promo code CFBX, yeah, they might be a little pricey.
Perhaps, yes. Normally they are, especially MSG ones. The Game Time guarantee means you always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. That is fantastic. So you don't have to shop around. And if you do find tickets, you know, at a better price somewhere, you make money off it. So fantastic there. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code CFBX for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code CFBX for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. And another place that can help you win money to buy tickets is Hall of Fame Bets. Win bigger by betting smarter this NFL season with Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NFL, NBA, MLB, and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea into Hall of Fame Bets' revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. All right.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Let's get through the rest of this event. I didn't even mention all the horrible things that happened. We lost Rodolfo Vieira, Armin Petrosian, right before the event. Petrosian got ill. Do you hear anything other than that, Dan? I just heard ill.
His manager posted that they thought he caught some sort of virus, and that's the only thing they put in there.
All right, so they're probably going to run this back shortly then?
Maybe. That sounds like something that would heal up quick.
Yeah. All right. I didn't even hear what you said because your lips were moving, and it didn't make it to Canada. So what did he hurt?
Virus.
Okay. Oh, virus. Yes. The virus. I guess no one cares about the virus anymore. All right. So anyhow, Petrosian, Dan has to yell. We're going to have to use the old cup and string so we can hear each other. So we lost that. And then before the event, Santos Marcos, we lost. Lost that before all that. Then we have Victor Hugo step in for Santos. Then Hugo weighed in 138.5. And that fight got, why did that fight get scrapped?
I think health, like they wouldn't let him rehydrate or wouldn't let him try to dehydrate more. And his hydration was bad.
All right. So he probably got a IV and then that makes you ineligible, right?
Yeah.
Possibly.
That's my guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So we lost that, sadly. So no luck for Daniel Marcos. He lost two opponents there. What else did we lose?
Oh, Ishmael Bonfim. Yeah.
The lesser of the Bonfim brother is now the fatter of the Bonfim brother because he weighed in 159.5. That is not a weight class, Dan.
It's not.
And then Vince Pichel wanted to teach the youngster a lesson. And that's what he said. So he didn't take the fight. That is quite a large, you're going into the fight as a huge underdog as it was. And then the opponent's going to have at least 5 pounds on you. I'm sure more once they rehydrate. So yeah. Vince Pichel put his foot down. That I'm sure the UFC will honor that and give him a prime booking next time, right? Because they love it when people look out for themselves, right?
I don't know how they're going to deal with that. It was a pretty bad miss, though.
Yeah, it was. But I guarantee the guy who missed won't be punished. The guy who decided he wasn't going to fight him is the one who would be punished. Anyhow, so well, let's continue on fights that did happen. Middleweights, Cal Bahio got a bit of a fight out of. Maybe it was more of a mental war, I think, than actually a war of physical attrition. He did beat Abus Magomedov, didn't finish him. He came close at the end of the fight to finish him. He was looking for a knockout. I took his word, Dan. He said on your podcast he was going to get a knockout. I took his word and was making knockout plays on him. Didn't happen. He seemed to, they both guys seemed to have trouble pulling the trigger and figuring each other out. But Bahio prevailed nonetheless. 30-27, 29-28, 29-28. Our boy didn't disappoint us. He came through with a W.
Yeah, I think the only thing for me is about that Bahio fight is that just like it seemed like once he thought that Abus Magomedov was tired in the third round, which I really think is why he unleashed a whole bunch more punches there. I think when he realized that Magomedov was tired, he went after it and it was having wild success. I think he could have done more to make him tired earlier, though. You know what I mean? Like he could have turned that pressure up, you know, out the gate and made it a lot grittier earlier. And then he could have opened up in the second and clearly gotten the finish. But instead he kind of let Magomedov hang around and let Magomedov do what he wanted to. So, you know, that's kind of upsetting, but you know, ultimately a good performance by him, a clear win over a guy who, you know, just beat Sean Strickland in a round.
Yeah. He did hurt him. Was that the third round that he hurt him with the elbow? Yeah. And yep. And Magomedov was like, okay, timeout. And he kind of gave him a timeout, which like he didn't press it, which was kind of frustrating. Like, I don't hate fighters that rush into the clinch, but I also hate fighters that don't take advantage of a guy being hurt, which is what he did basically.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yep.
Yeah. But anyhow, he's learning, right? Our boy's learning, Dan.
He's getting there.
Are we gonna stop pushing this Magomedov guy that no one knows except his manager?
Yeah, I don't know what we're doing anymore. It does seem like he has skills, though. Again, like it's it's going to be a weird thing to talk about, you know, after Cal Bahio picks up like two more wins and is ranked in the top five or something like that. Because like he's got huge potential, in my opinion, Bahio does. And how are we going to talk about Abus then? Like he fought like maybe one of the worst dudes in the UFC in his debut and then like two top 10 dudes. Like, can we get him something?
Future champion.
Yeah, get him something in between. You know, even somebody at like 25 in the division would be intriguing. And instead they're giving them like only top 15 guys or the worst guys in the division.
They're booking him in reverse. You're supposed to work your way up, not work your way back down. But yeah, like you said, it looks like he's definitely super experienced. Yeah. It looks like he has some skills, but yeah, the booking of the fights isn't doing him any favors at this point. And they give him main event for crying out loud too in his second fight. Anyhow, we had a catchweight fight because this card wasn't wacky enough. We had to have a 165-pound catchweight fight. I don't remember the last time I saw a 165-pound fight. Do you remember any 165-pound fights in the UFC?
No.
Anyhow, Elvis Brenner. He wasn't dressed up like it wasn't a bunch of elves in a trench coat like I was hoping. It was actually just a real man. At least it looked that way. He took care of Coach K. Kynan Krzyzewski, knockout punch 401 in the first round. Now this Brenner could be someone to look out for. He's a scary guy. I know he hit him in the right spot, like behind the ear, but it looks like he barely, like it was a glancing blow. It looked like, and you put the guy face plant out.
Yeah. I still don't think we're like learning tons about him. Like he beat better guys already than Krzyzewski, right? Like, so like, yeah, like maybe we learned a little bit about his power here or whatnot, but like at the end of the day, this is already a guy who I had circled as being kind of underrated. Like the line on him versus Ribovich, which was, you know, I think it was like -150 or something like that, was already kind of criminal. So I think I think he probably just, you know, continued to further prove that, you know, he's got power. We're gonna see tons more of him coming up. You gotta love those shoot the box guys.
Yep. Definitely, yeah. And you can't really complain about the booking because this was like, what, 4 days in a match or something? They got the guy in. All right, so the main card, I did good. It should have been a good night based on the main card. I was 1, 2, 3, 4, 4, and 1. Gumby the same, 4 and 1. So we should have killed because we had all the same picks. Then the wheels did not. I was going to say they fell off, but they didn't even go on for me on the prelims. Main event of the prelims ended up in a draw, which is fantastic, isn't it? Renat Fakhretdinov was having fun. He was styling on Elizio Zaleski Dos Santos. Zaleski Dos Santos isn't really a guy you should style on because he's tough as nails and he's not going to stop, which Fakhretdinov hopefully learned here. It was a majority draw, 29-28, 28-28, 28-28. I had Fakhretdinov win the first two rounds. I don't think the third round was a 10-8. One of the judges had Fakhretdinov round 1 and 2 and then gave him had a 10-8, I believe, for the third round. Another judge had Zaleski Dos Santos round 2 and 3, which I didn't see. So yeah, the scorecards were all over the place. I smelled a draw coming. I knew this was going to happen, but the way the fight ended and how Fakhretdinov, the fight should have actually been stopped. He was unresponsive. He wasn't trying. He looked like he was waiting for the ref to save him. And when the ref didn't, then he finally started putting up some defense and didn't get himself finished. But yeah, I was satisfied with the draw because I thought we lost that pick.
I'm pretty shocked because I didn't look at the scorecards. I just assumed everybody gave Zaleski Dos Santos a 10-8 third because there was no way he won the first two rounds.
Unless I misread it. I don't think that was the case. I have it in front of me if you want.
I know yeah. One judge gave it to one judge scored it correctly, right? 2 rounds to 1.
Yeah.
Renat.
Yep.
And to the judge who gave a 10-8 third, there's no way you can give a 10-8 third to Zaleski Dos Santos and not a 10-8 first to Renat. Because I actually think Renat's first round was better than Zaleski's last round. Like he was closer to having finished the fight. He was, I mean, you're saying it's almost finished. I would say the first 30 seconds was almost finished. Like we could have won the bet right there.
Yeah, the scorecards were Fakhretdinov round 1 and then Zaleski Dos Santos round 2 and 3. That was Fabio Olivas' card. Sal D'Amato, our friend Sal. Fakhretdinov round 1 and 2, and then a 10-8 for Zaleski Dos Santos round 3. And then Halison Pontes, the exact same card. Fakhretdinov 1 and 2, and then 10-8 for round 3. One of the reasons I don't think it was 10-8 is how the fight ended. Fakhretdinov was up and pressing the action. So, like, that's doesn't seem like a 10-8. If you're close to getting beat, then, you know, the fight, you should be on the ground battered. That wasn't the case, but that's I saw it coming. I wasn't shocked by it.
Yeah, I'm not shocked by it, but that doesn't make it good. So it is what it is.
Disappointing though, Fakhretdinov, he fumbled the bag, as everyone likes to say in MMA these days. He fumbled the bag on this one. Like, he should have won this fight outright.
Yeah, he's a better fighter. Like, that's the bottom line.
He played his way into a draw.
For sure.
Yep. So anyhow, I still think he's a fantastic. Hopefully this fixes his fight IQ a bit, because he's if he can hit the way he hits and wrestle the way he wrestles, he's something to look out for sure. So, light heavyweights, Vitor Petrino. I guess he is a real deal, Dan. Yeah, he knocked out Modestus Bukauskas. Yeah, I got yelled at on Reddit for that take of mine taking Modestus, but Petrino knocked him out with one punch, 103 into the second round. Second the fight started, I had that feeling like, oh man, this was a bad pick, Gumby. Just looking at the two guys, like, okay. Modestus looked kind of hesitant for good reason. And Petrino just is a stud.
The part that worried me was, like, at one point in time, Bukauskas gets hit with a jab and his eyes just kind of like opened. Like, oh no, like the jab made you feel that way, man. To your point, I think Petrino's a guy we can't continue to doubt. I think he's a guy who's the real deal. I think the power is like a game changer in a way that, like, at light heavyweight, like, it just is. So, Vitor Petrino all the way. Also, before you begin prepping us on the next fight, I'm going to just pull a blind down so that I don't continue to be blinded.
Do you want me to open mine so glowing. I can get in? I can open my blinds.
I'm glowing here. I'll be right back. You go ahead and start prepping into the next one.
All right. I was going to ask you about Petrino, but that's fine. I'll prep the next fight. I don't want to talk about the next fight. This was a trick. Gumby wants me to talk about the next fight because he was right and I was wrong. Oh, was I ever wrong with this one? Gumby nailed this one. It was women's strawweight, Angela Hill versus Denise Gomes. Angela Hill did it Angela Hill things and gritted her way through another win that I didn't expect to happen. The odds makers were correct and Gumby was correct. Angela Hill, 30-27, 29-28, 29-28. Better fight IQ, obviously, better stamina and gas tank, obviously, and took the youngster to school, Angela Hill, plus 110. If you didn't hear Gumby, I was telling you, you were totally correct in this fight, and I was totally wrong with this fight. Everything you said was correct about this fight.
I mean, I just walked away, not actually to close the blinds, but so that you didn't have to face me while you talked about your lock of the week getting beat by one of my underdog plays. Angela Hill, you know, to my point, she's not somebody you knock out. Yeah. And Denise Gomes is not winning fights in the UFC where she doesn't knock her opponent out. She's just not good enough to in pretty much any regard. Like, I mean, I guess a little bit of her wrestling and her like counter jujitsu look good at times, but not great, right? Like she didn't look like she was going to take anybody out that way. So like, I think moving forward, you just ask yourself, is this somebody Denise Gomes can knock out? If it is, you pick Denise. And if it's not, you don't pick Denise.
So Denise's what, 2-2 now? This was a tough loss for her. Angela Hill, eventually time's going to catch up with her, Dan, and it's going to bite you in the ass, but definitely was not last night. I guess she hasn't really taken a heck of a lot of damage over her career, right? She doesn't get knocked out at the very least.
I'm also not like a big Angela Hill backer. In fact, like,
I know.
Like, I'm usually a big Angela Hill fader, but like, this is, again, she doesn't get knocked out, and I don't think Denise Gomes is beating anybody she can.
Yeah. Sadly, sad but true. The platinum hair did not come through for Denise Gomes. So yeah, Gumby was right. You can make that clip from the clip from the show if you want, Gumby. Me telling you how great you are, and you're right. That's you should have had your blinds open when I told you how great you are, and heaven. Yeah, exactly. Heaven shining down on you. All right, so Gumby hit that one. Gumby hit everything basically on the prelims. That's how he kicked my butt in this. Another catchway fight. Eduarda Moira, due to feminine issues, came through quite overweight. She had abs nonetheless. She's 3.5 pounds overweight, 119.5. She is a thick strawweight. She's going to be trouble for people. She was definitely trouble for Montserrat Ruiz. This was a squash match of the highest order from old school wrestling, when all we used to get to see on TV was the stars beat up on jobbers. So Montserrat Ruiz was the Iron Mike Sharp. I guess he wasn't really a jobber. Iron Mike Sharp won some fights, but she got her ass handed to her nonetheless. TKO punches, 214 in the second round. This was just looking at the two in the face off, you kind of could tell how this fight was going to go.
Yeah, I mean, like, and in general, like we said that in the breakdown, right? Like, this was a fight designed to make Eduarda Moira look good on a fight that's headlined by her teammate in her hometown.
She looked better than her teammate, that's for sure.
Yeah, and like, I mean, you didn't learn anything about her. She fought somebody who needs to get her own wrestling going and is so much smaller than her and so much worse of a wrestler. Like, there was no chance. So yeah, you didn't learn anything. Let's book her against somebody who can hang with her.
Montserrat Ruiz is going to get cut, Dan, isn't she? I know she won you money, but she's going to get cut.
You know,
is
if you
remember going to cut so far,
here's a really fun stat about Montserrat Ruiz. If you bet money on her to win on every single one of her UFC fights, you'd still be profiting.
Oh, fantastic. I like how they make Conejo Ruiz like her official name. Like, Rabbit is her official name.
I dig it.
It's just funny. We're going to cut her. Dontel Mays, he's a heavyweight, and he's wins one, loses one. So I don't think we're going to cut him. No one else we're going to cut so far, Dan. People are safe, I think, so far here. Because we had a lot of debuting people. Like in the other fight, Kelly Fernandez looked good on the feet. Like, he definitely can kick, this boy. That's what made me fall in love with him. But Mark D. Casey did what I was afraid he was going to do and what Gumby hoped he would do. He wrestled. Wrestled his way to victory. 29-28, 28-29, 30-27 were the scorecards. Scorecards all over the map because D. Casey, he wrestled, but he didn't do anything. It was he made Gelatin look active on the ground. Took his man down and held him there for the most part.
Yeah, I thought about it afterwards, and at first I was like blown away that anybody gave Fernandez that card. And then I went back and watched that second round again. I still scored it for DKC. I think DKC won 2 out of 3. I could see you giving Fernandez the two rounds there. Like, he didn't. I don't think he did enough on the feet to sway the round, which is why I still give it to DKC. but I think it was a lot closer than a lot of people were thinking when it was going to the cards. You know, like props to DKC for the high IQ play. Again, probably just needs to open up his hands a little more. But, you know, like a good game plan against a very dangerous dude.
Fernandez at times was all right on the ground. Like he had some.
He's got good jiu-jitsu. I think people sleep on how good his jiu-jitsu is because he's a really good striker and a really dangerous striker. But like he's also got a sub game and a sweep game off of his back. That's not bad.
Yeah. But that's the thing. I think he relied on it too much. And then when it wasn't working, he just was chilling on his back. When he probably would be better just to, you know, kick his way. I know it's easier said than done, but get your feet on the hips and get yourself up. But I still like him as a prospect. He could have a decent future. Give him some strikers. Let him get some wins under his belt.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, like, look what they opened him with. They opened him with Mark DKC. Yep. So like, clearly they think something of him too.
Yep. Mark DKC has been around a long time. All right. So that Gumby hit that one. So this is where Gumby made the money. I was going to say made the hay, but he didn't just make hay. He made money. Gumby went 7-2, $179. He won by betting $100 in every fight, which he does every fight card.
Don't do that.
No, you'd be a liar if you didn't. We tell people to do that.
Explicitly not to do that.
Oh yeah, you're right. We do. Oh, also, I didn't clip, but I clipped it for our Discord, but Gumby interrupted me when I was breaking down the main event, telling me that the fight was not going to go five rounds. I told him it was going to go as a joke. I said, yeah, it is. And it did go five rounds. So that should have been our clip of the week. Me predicting the main event be five rounds. So anyhow, Gumby, here's the sad part. Gumby is ahead of me now on the year. I'm at 60%. He's at 57%. So he's not ahead of me for correctness, but in terms of losing less, he's lost less. You've lost only 4.8% return on investment. I'm at minus 5.3%. So you're half a percent ahead of me.
And I'm going to say a word of encouragement to you for a brief moment your dark time. There's still time.
It's true. Because this has never happened before, especially not last year. Remember last year, I was like up money late into the year for somehow, which was crazy.
Yeah, because nobody should bet that way. And for somebody to pretend to do so and still be up is wildness.
What they should do is they should follow our recommended plays, right? Instead of betting the fight. They good too.
I mean, they did not do good this week. Mine should have. Well, I had a weird push that shouldn't have been a push. Yep. And then I should have played Angie Hill as my dog. I don't know why I didn't pick that as my dog of the week. She would have such a much better play. Maybe it's just I want to fade Petrino, and now I don't.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it anymore.
Nope. Gumby was 0-2 with a push. I was 0-3 with a recommended plays. We're not going to even talk about them anymore. And of course, not of course, eventually these Hunger Man Jongs hit, and then when they do hit, it makes up for any money you've lost up to that point. But that did not hit as well, so kind of a crappy fight card overall. People we liked didn't impress, and well, actually Gumby pulled ahead of me overall, so it was a bad night for me. But I'm sure the almost 11,000 people in attendance in Gymnasio de Ibirapuera. How do you say it, Dan? Ibirapuera?
I'm just going to let you sweat.
Blah, blah, blah. All right, let me tell you about the bonus awards. These people made more money. Dalby Bonfim, fight of the night. Brenner Petrino, performance of the night. The UFC rolls on. We're going to the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Gardens in New York City, UFC 295. We should be doing live to air from there, Dan. Why didn't we get ourselves some press passes? We should be
I don't know. Does SGPN, are we in with the UFC? I mean, I've done press credentialed events before, but not for SGPN.
Yeah. Is anyone really in with the UFC?
I mean, some people are in with the UFC, I think.
Yeah. I mean, people who are actually say how it is, like we do. Are they in with the UFC or people who
we say it how it is?
We do. We tell it like it is. We bag on Yanni, so that probably has put us on the. That's probably why I haven't been invited back on that show that Yanni was on. I was on once. I thought I did pretty good, and John Anik laughed at my jokes, and then they probably listened to the show. Oh, Anik said he was going to check out the show, so he probably went. These guys are bagging on Yanni every episode.
He's got to feel the same way.
Exactly. You think so. UFC 295, John Anik will be in attendance, as far as I know. Is now Prochazka versus Pereira, which is, you know, it should be. That should be like something we're all sick pumped fight. About. But we were supposed to get John Jones and Stipe Miocic, which is actually.
I give less of a shit about that fight.
Yeah, I was going to say, casuals, this is less fun for casual, but yeah, for us, this is way better. We got Jiří Prochazka versus Alex Pereira in the main event for a light heavyweight championship. I have no idea how I'm going to pick this fight. I haven't. Do you have an idea where you're?
I've been back and forth on it like 17 times. I have like a clear narrative that I feel like is true about the fight, which you can get when you listen to our episode on Thursday. But
I haven't even looked at odds yet either, so we'll see.
I mean, everything's razor close in the first two fights. They're basically a pair of pick-ems, which doesn't help.
Okay. Co-main event for it just make it for the real belt. It's for the interim UFC heavyweight championship. Sergey Pavlovich versus Tom Aspinall. John Jones is old. He barely fights, and now he's got a serious injury that's going to take him a long time to heal from. This should be for the real UFC belt. But anyhow, interim UFC heavyweight championship. Pavlovich Aspinall. This is another fight, Dan. No idea what I'm going to pick here. I'm leaning, but I haven't, you know, I'm not solid on what I'm picking.
Yeah, I know which side I'm picking here, but I will say I'm not super sure about it, to be fair. I'm comfortable more with this one than I am with the main event.
There's no bad choices, I don't think, in either of the top two fights. Women's strawweight, Mackenzie Dern versus Jessica Andrade. This is what, fight five, I think, this year for Jessica Andrade. She's all about that money now. I think she realizes
she's not winning very many of them.
No. No, she makes okay show money, hopefully. Matt Favola, Benoit Saint-Denis, that should be fun. Both those guys are fun. And then featherweights, Diego Brian Wilson Lopez versus Pat Sabatini. That is the main card. Prelims, Steven Ersig, Alessandro Costa, Tabitha Ricci, Lupi Godinez. There's a fun one. Nazim Sadikov, Slava Claus. It's almost that time of year, Dan. I've seen Christmas trees lit up in my neck of the woods.
I believe it.
November 1st. I saw.
To be fair, you live right next to Santa's workshop, so
it's true. We're very close. We can hear him hammering and sawing away. Slava Claus, aka Vyacheslav Borshev. They only have three fights listed right now on the prelims. On the main prelims, I think we lost. We were supposed to have Matias Rebecki versus someone, right? Nurello Aliyev, but we lost that one. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure who's moving up to the main card. Early prelims. One of these fights probably this fight will be on the main prelims. It would be Jared Gordon versus Mark O. Madsen. Then we got John Castaneda, Kiang Ho Kang, Joshua Van, Kevin Borjas, Dennis Bazooka, Jamal Emmers. Thoughts?
It's exactly what you expect out of a MSG card, right? It's like, you know, stacked from top to bottom. It's got all the kind of big names you want on it. I mean, I guess more people would have liked to seen somebody like John Jones on there. I personally think the matchups we got are way better. So I'm pumped for it. Yeah, it's going to be a good one.
All right. It will be a good one. I'm kind of thinking the opposite. It doesn't really have, outside of the main, it doesn't really have that many big names. For MSG, this isn't, I don't think, if we look at the past MSG cards, I don't think this one quite is up to snuff. But I'm not buying $2,000 tickets or whatever, so I don't care. I'm gonna watch it regardless. So that's this coming Saturday night. I think we've talked enough. Let's get out of here. Thank you for listening. We are at in the Discord at all hours of the day. John will be in there at the very least. He will be there regardless of what time of day it is. And then Gumby and I are usually popping around too. That's sportsgumbypodcast.com/discord if we're not in the jungle. When we're in the jungle, we won't be in the Discord. Where else can you talk to us? You talk to us on Twitter. Gumby might answer you unless you're giving him crap, like some people were giving him crap about his picks. That would be, I guess that's what Twitter's for. And that fight didn't even happen. So you couldn't even say I told you so. That's SGPN MMA. He's at Gumby Vreeland if you just want to yell at him directly. I'm at Jeff Fox Writer on there and on Instagram. And I got his Substack, moneymma.substack.com. Get in there, play my weekly pick'em contest. Some of the people from the Discord play in the pick'em contest as well. So get in there. That's always fun. And then I have lots of writing and whatnot on there and podcasts and all that stuff. And Gumby's got Top Turtle MMA podcast, which is always a good listen. He made some fights fall off because of people he interviewed last week, but usually it's the curse is over. Do you know who's on this week, or is it a secret still?
Yeah, I'm talking to Joshua Van, who's making his second fight in the UFC this upcoming week, and also talking to the sexy Mexi, John Castaneda, who will be fighting as well.
So a couple of fights that will be falling off of the early prelims, so I won't be worried about getting all these stats and stuff for that before you're ready. And, of course, Sports Gambling Podcast and Sports Gambling Podcast Patreon. it's a place to go for all good things in the sports gambling sphere, because I like saying sphere. We're going to go with sphere. All right, we're going to be back. The regional Monday episode. Do some more regional MMA. It's a Cage Warriors fight card from London with a title fight. Maybe two title fights? One title fight, I think.
One title fight.
Yeah, pretty decent card, even for a casual Cage Warriors fan like me. It's got some names I recognize on it. So we'll be back tomorrow with that. Who will be doing that show, you wonder? It's a Locomotivo, Jeff Fox, and Maldadino Gumby Vreeland will be there as well, because you're muscly. And we'll talk to you then. Bye.